Good morning, everyone. Talk Radio 930 WTAD coming up on 920. And as always, the Mary Griffith Show is brought to you by Harvest Ridge Coffee. The beans are always hand ground in small batches. You're always going to get a fresh cup of Harvest Ridge Coffee if you stop by any of our local convenience stores that carry Harvest Ridge, or you can have it at your office or at your home. That's right. The Pepsi truck delivers our Harvest Ridge Coffee every month, and we love it. Harvest Ridge Coffee from Refreshment Services Pepsi, proud sponsor of the Mary Griffith Show. I have not seen Dr. Brandon Breening for a couple of months. Where have you been?
Where have I been? I went to Mexico in May, and then you were gone for
a long period of time. So it's nice to get back with you. Dr. Brandon Breening here from Holistic Healthcare. What is your exact address? I can never remember it.
1210 North 24th Street.
1210 North 24th, basically catty corner from the fire station and just up from the subway, and you can't miss it. It's got a big sign that says Dr. Brandon Breening, Holistic Healthcare, right?
Breening Total Wellness.
Breening Total Wellness. Like
we've gone through lots of names
but
through the years.
That office has been there for decades.
73, I think Grandma bought that building.
Wow. So you're the third generation in your family that's a chiropractor.
Yeah.
And that's fantastic. So today we always talk about health, and specifically holistic health or total wellness. And you keep your finger on the pulse of many things. Recently, I had to have a test to see if I was vitamin B12 deficient. I wasn't, but I thought to myself, couldn't I just start taking vitamin B12 instead of having this expensive test? But no, that's not how the world works. But I wasn't vitamin B12 deficient, so there's something wrong with me, but it's not that.
Wow. At least we've eliminated B12 deficiency.
One of a million things that could be wrong with me. But you do a lot of blood testing at the Total Wellness Center to try to determine what is in people's blood, what they have enough of and what they lack, because again, you know, the blood is kind of a mirror to what's happening in our bodies, in a sense.
Absolutely. And that actually plays right into one of the articles I brought with me, Mary.
Well, I knew it would. That's why I brought that up.
Yeah, sure. but yeah, you look at the blood so that you can see. I think yearly basic blood work is one of the best ways we can stop things before they get bad, right? If my A1C... which is your blood sugar, is a 7. Well, I'm type 2 diabetic. If I had found that when my A1C was a 5.8, I have a better chance of turning that around without needing to go on drugs. But if you don't do that yearly blood work, you're not going to know, because some of these things, the symptoms are so mild that you're not going to, well, I'm just more tired than, maybe I'm just older.
Well, we just had on this morning a doctor of optometry who was saying that diabetes is often diagnosed by an eye exam.
Absolutely.
Now, it's terrible that you've gotten to that point, because you're pretty bad off in diabetes when they can detect it in your eyes.
Yes.
But again, we have a cousin who passed away from diabetes and was detected through an eye exam, had never taken care of herself, and probably didn't take very good care of herself, frankly, after her diagnosis. So diabetes is nothing to fool around with.
Absolutely. You know, you go from pushing water through your veins to pushing syrup through your veins. It's not nearly as easy to push that through your veins.
So when you test people's blood, what are you trying to find out, Dr. Brandon Breening?
It just depends. So, you know, some people come in with complaints, and we're looking for that. But we want to look at the basic stuff. So we want to look at what your red blood cells are doing, what your white blood cells are doing, your basic electrolytes, your sodium, potassium, calcium, these basic minerals and that in there. We want to look and see how your kidneys and your liver are doing. And your vitamin D is one that I usually throw in just because it's like $5 more to do the test with the vitamin D versus doing it without, and we might as well know.
Well, and because in your experience, you'll only know by testing. You can't really tell by looking. And very many people come back vitamin D deficient, right?
Yes, yes.
So it's almost like, well, I don't want to do an unnecessary test, but if this person is average, we may find out that they're vitamin D deficient, as I found out from blood work. And now I take a vitamin D supplement almost every day. Some days I forget to take my medicine completely. And since it's involved with all that, I forget completely. But it's something that a lot of people think, well, what now? The sun makes vitamin D, but we've become so afraid of sunburn, which is good, that we cover ourselves up and we slather ourselves with sunscreen protection, and we're not making as much vitamin D as we used to, right?
That's correct. And, you know, it's not something that you get in your diet or anything like that. So,
well, don't you get it in milk? Don't they fortify milk with vitamin
D? Yes,
you
get it on things that they've artificially put it into. Sure.
But most people don't drink enough milk for that to be a minimum,
right,
a reasonable dose.
Right.
And
right,
frankly, now everybody's afraid of dairy, so fewer and fewer people are drinking milk.
Yeah.
I really am getting confused almost about what I can eat and not eat, because it seems like everything, quote unquote, is bad for you, or adversely, everything is, quote unquote, good for you.
Yes, and it really just depends on which study has come out most recently.
And it depends on if I'm lactose intolerant, I'm not. So, you know, milk doesn't bother me. I'm not going to make fun of people who can't drink milk. I'm just saying, you know, I'm not one of them,
right,
but I still supplement with vitamin D. So a simple blood test can show if you're deficient in certain vitamins.
Yes.
Well, I found out I wasn't deficient in vitamin B12. I'm interested if they bothered to check for anything else while they drew that blood, you know, or was that just one thing? Because that was a terrible blood draw, I'll be honest with you. And if all I found out was that I've got enough B12, they have run that through a few other analyticals?
I'm sure they could have if they'd ordered more.
Well, yeah, but then I'd have to pay more probably.
Yes, that's true. That's
so
true.
You'd like to just kind of get it all done in one fell swoop, right?
You
don't want to take a gallon from somebody,
no,
but, you know, there's a lot of things you can test with a normal draw of blood.
Right, right. I think we're looking at 4 or 5 vials with the ones that I normally draw. So it's a lot, but it's not a lot.
Getting the needle in is the thing.
Yes.
I don't really care how many bottles you fill up after that. Just don't come and stick me all the time.
Well, you don't have to worry about me coming soon.
That's true. You don't.
Now, my mom, she may come over and just randomly stick you. But
I don't think she randomly sticks people. But your mom and your sister have been known to stick people. I know that. And why don't you're just above that, right? Because you're a doctor.
I've never. Mom is always like, I can teach you, and I'm like, I'm good.
I don't want to be the guy that comes around and goes, now this won't hurt very much.
Right.
Okay, you can let that be your mom and your sister.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it.
Yeah.
How that works in the family. Why should you have a skill when you can call upon someone else?
Exactly.
To be feared
and I can
loved.
Hone other skills.
You can hone other
yes.
skills. So when you find out somebody's vitamin D deficient, or you find out somebody's any vitamin deficient, supplementation is fairly easy, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but what if their body isn't, like, taking it in? Like, I know sometimes people say, well, I need calcium, so I'll take a calcium supplement like Tums. Well, that doesn't necessarily get into your bloodstream, does it?
That calcium is very hard for us to absorb. So in that case, it depends on what's causing it. Is it just the poor quality of what you're taking that is causing you not to absorb it? If so, then we just need to get you something that your body absorbs better. If it's something else, let's say you don't make enough hydrochloric acid, you don't make enough acid in your stomach to break these things down, well, then we need to get you more acid in your stomach. If your gut is just such a complete mess that everything gets through, but you don't really absorb anything because your body's too busy fighting everything that's gotten through, then, well, we need to heal your gut lining and fix that. And, you know, as much of a fan as I am of basic blood work, I do not like to do more specific tests unless we have to, because sometimes we look at this basic blood work and we see a pattern there. And the pattern is one of usually two things. Let's say that I look at your blood work and I see a depressed white blood cell count. So you have less white blood cells than what I'm expecting. And I see a trend towards either higher neutrophils or higher lymphocytes, which are two different types of white blood cells. To me, that says one of two things. That says either I have a chronic, it's three things actually. Either I have a chronic infection, I have an autoimmune disease that I don't know about, or I have, I'm just really, really healthy, right? And usually you're not coming to me because you're really, really healthy.
Right.
So we can do tests to try and determine what these things are, but if you're just kind of sick, why are we running a bunch of expensive tests? Why don't we put you on something to either increase, let's say your neutrophils are high. Let's put, and so I think chronic infection, okay, bacterial infection. So let's do something to increase those neutrophils so that your body actually goes and finishes that off. One of two things is going to happen then. You're going to feel bad for a while because everybody feels bad when they start fighting something. And then you're going to get better because you've fixed the problem. Or it tells me if you're bad for the whole time, that says we're not fighting a bacteria here, right?
It wasn't a bacteria problem, so we have to search for something
right.
else.
And then we can search into...
A lot of times it is a bacteria problem and then problem solved.
Right. So, okay. And I'd rather go with the simpler solution, which is the bacterial problem, and start there and work our way out to more exotic things.
Sometimes it's just a headache, not a brain tumor.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. What is this big article that you've poured over? First of all, always tell me where it's from, because I'm just amazed. Dr. Breening actually reads all of these magazines. He is such a nerd box that this is like what he does on Saturday night.
This was published in the Nature Aging Journal.
Okay. Which, if you need a copy of that, you can get his... copies that he's already been through and used.
Yeah, sure. anyhow, you probably heard about this, but the human body experiences two rapid aging periods.
Yes, I've heard about this. One is at the age of 44.
Yes, and I'm headed straight for 44.
Oh my God, you're going to go downhill so fast.
I mean, it's a good thing my class reunion is at the end of the month, because next year I'm going to look horrible.
Next year you look horrible. You know. Okay, so 44, and I think again it's 60 or...
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, we talked about this last week on the morning show with Scott and Mary, and I'm like, okay... But now I've got a doctor to really, because I was like asking Scott questions. I don't know. I'm just reading this report. What happens to you at 44 that puts your body in a tailspin? And do you really believe this? I mean, it's from a published journal.
From a journal. So what they have is they have blood work that shows these things change at approximately these ages. Now their sample size was fairly small. So it's not like they took 20,000 people or 500,000 people and looked at their blood work at certain ages and were like, oh, let's look at this. So there's definitely more work to be done there. But what changes is your body's ability to deal with certain things at these ages. And part of that is... just we've abused these things for so long that the body just doesn't handle it anymore. That's why I'm always talking about preventative stuff. Let's do what we can now so that we don't have problems later.
Okay. So it is true that they have tracked that there is some deterioration at 44 that seems to be worse than at 43 or 45, but... it doesn't mean that the minute you turn 44 or the minute you turn 60, you're going to have your secondary fall off the cliff. But as we age, the less we take care of ourselves, the more the harder it becomes to remain healthy.
Well, absolutely. You know, it's a death by a thousand cuts, right? So we do things and the body can handle it and the body can handle it and the body can handle it until the body just can't handle it anymore. And then the dominoes fall and everything starts... You have one thing that hits, and then it's like, oh, man, this. All of those things were already happening. You just didn't see them because you didn't notice. You didn't feel bad enough to go looking for them.
Well, so. I just had a friend. She's surviving lung cancer, and she was diagnosed with lung cancer because she went to the doctor for something completely unrelated. And thank God, one of the tests they did was a chest x-ray, I guess, you know, and found this pretty bad lung cancer. It has not gotten into the rest of her body, and they had to take out part of her lung, and they took out all of her lymph. I mean, they really did some massive surgery on her. So if she hadn't gone to the doctor for something else that was wrong with her, she'd probably be dead by now because the lung cancer would have eventually taken over. So it is ironic. People come to you, Dr. Breening, when their back hurts, when they have chronic headaches, when their knee hurts. They're coming to you to seek help mostly from a painful condition. That's why they seek out a chiropractor to get back in realignment. But you can also be sought out to keep people, to restore health and keep people in good health, right?
Absolutely. You know, that's the best, like I said, that's the best time to look at this. When your blood A1C is 5.8, we can turn that around. When your A1C is 7.0, we can still turn that around, but we're going to need a lot more work to turn it around, and we should probably do some medical intervention at the same time to get you
absolutely
where you need
and,
to be.
And so. That A1C tells all. So, again, get checked for diabetes, folks. If you think you don't have it, you could be very wrong. You don't necessarily have to have symptoms. I mean, the symptoms of diabetes are also the symptoms of a lot of other things that are wrong with you.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, it's probably one of the simplest tests you'll ever take. It's just a blood test.
Yeah.
But it's going to tell you, and it doesn't lie. You can't say, oh, well, that's because I had birthday cake last week. No, A1C tracks a long trajectory. So
3 months.
You can use all the excuses you want, Mary Griffith. I mean, you can use all the excuses you want, WT80 listeners, but it doesn't lie. Dr. Breening, thank you so much for stopping by. I have missed you.
Yeah,
thank you for keeping my husband in good health. I don't have time to go see you because I'm too busy waiting and taking care of my sickly husband. So thank you for keeping him at least in an upright position because he's hard to get in and out of bed by myself, okay?
Okay.
Thank you. Keep up the good work. We'll be back and we'll talk with our elder liaison from the Quincy Police Department. Yes, the police department cares so much about our senior citizens. They have an officer devoted to watching out for them and protecting and serving them. And we'll meet that officer in just a moment. Stay tuned. Nine 41, we are back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. The Quincy Police Department always sends somebody by on this Tuesday to talk about law enforcement and serving the public in our community. And today, Officer Zach Bemis is here with me. And he has a very special calling in the Quincy Police Department. He fights crime, but he's especially interested in crimes against seniors and the elderly. So, Zach Bemis, please introduce yourself to our audience and tell us a little bit about you as a law enforcement professional and the job you carry out.
Sure. Well, my name is Zach Bemis. I'm the elder service officer for the Quincy Police Department. I have been with the Quincy Police Department for about 9 years, and I've worked in this position for about a year and a half. So, basically, in this position, I will handle all of the more complex cases that are involving senior citizens. That can include all kinds of frauds, thefts, financial exploitations, and then there's some issues with some types of like neglect and things like that. So
it is quite complex, some of these issues can be, because oftentimes the person, the senior, is being... the fraud is being perpetrated by either a trusted friend or somebody they think is a trusted friend, or even worse, a family member. And so you've probably seen it all. And I know we have a lot of scam alerts that come out.
Mm-hmm.
Elderly people seem to be especially susceptible to scams. Just in general, like I'm not very tech savvy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I sometimes get emails and I have to ask my coworkers, should I open this? No, don't open that, you know. So I'm at least smart enough to ask somebody at work, should I open this? But, you know, if I was at home by myself and I got something like that, I might open it and open up literally a can of worms. So what are some of the kinds of things that you've had to deal with? What are some of the things that you can kind of tell our audience that are listening? Don't you be a victim, or don't let your neighbor or your grandma be a victim?
Sure. Well, a lot of the scams that I see, they begin just with a phone call. So I know a lot of us get those phone calls. It's whether it's on your landline or whether it's on your cellular phone. But if it comes up with a number that you do not recognize, the best thing to do is just to let it go to voicemail. And I can tell you that a scammer will probably not ever leave you a voicemail. But what they want you to do is answer that phone. And when you do answer, what it can basically end up being is the scammer will say that that you have won a new car or that you owe money to the government because you didn't pay some kind of bill or some taxes. And then from there, it kind of rolls into, well, in order to take care of this new car that you just won, we need you to send us some money. Or in order to take care of this tax bill, we need you to go out and buy some gift cards. And right then and there, when you hear that you owe any type of money, that's when you should just hang up the phone, because it's almost always a scam. They will make it sound like it's great. I mean, I would like to win a new car. Is it going to happen? Probably not. I'm not going to say it's not something that happens, but you shouldn't have to pay any money. And that's how they will try to convince you to do
that. Oh, but Officer Bemis, I have to pay the taxes before they'll deliver the new car.
That's right.
No. Yeah. And that's where they get you. Recently, we had a story out of Missouri, and it was quite a good con artist. Of course, the ones you hear about often are. They had convinced this woman in a very small town that somebody at her bank was stealing money. Mm-hmm. And the only way to catch this criminal was for her to go down to the bank and withdraw all of her money or half of it and give it to this person. And she did that. And that person was greedy enough. They didn't accept half. They had to go back and try to get all of it.
Yeah.
And that's when a red flag went up because mm-hmm. a lot of bank tellers, there's a certain trigger that will trigger any bank teller to become curious. And it's almost by law they have to become curious. And then there's also the small town bank teller who doesn't want to get up in your business but happens to know that Myrtle doesn't need $50,000 mm-hmm. cash
right.
just because.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a thin line, though, between people's privacy and people interfering. Because if I call down the Quincy Police Department and say, I think my neighbor's getting scammed,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that may not be enough. Mm-hmm. It might be enough to intrigue your interest, but it may not be enough depending on who right. am I and what interest I have in that person, right?
Right. Yeah, there is a way that I like to approach those situations, and I do it essentially in a way of just advocacy. I can call them. Sometimes I just go to their house. I knock on the door. I introduce myself. I explain the reason I'm here is not to tell you what to do. How to spend your money, but I don't want you to be a victim from these other cases that I've worked on. So I just ask for 5 or 10 minutes of their time so I can kind of express what my concerns are and see if I can help them out. The banks here in town are fantastic to work with. They look out for their customers. I've worked with them quite a bit on cases, and we kind of work together in a manner where the information is presented to the person in a way of, we're here to help, not to tell you what to do. So here's our concerns. Let us know if any of this sounds like it's something that's happening with you. And if it is, then that could roll into a criminal case and I can investigate that. So
you mentioned too, that personal touch, going to the older person's home. And by older, I mean, heck, I'm a senior citizen, you know. But you knew that already since your dad and I played together when we were children. Zach's like, I know, lady, you're old. You played with my dad when he was a little boy, and he's very old. So we know you're old. But there isn't a level here where, you know, I've been taken a few times by people, and I didn't have to be old to be taken. But, you know, age is just a number. But really what happens is some people become a little bit less sure of themselves, less confident in their own decision-making ability. Also, now with artificial intelligence, they can make the voice of your grandson sound just like the voice of your grandson, and he's telling you he's being held hostage in Venezuela and you've got to do something quick. Yes. So all of these things should trigger a call to the police before you ever do anything like that, even if they say, now don't call the police. This has to be an undercover, top secret thing. There's no such thing. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if you ever hear something like that, if someone tells you, well, don't get the police involved, this is a, you know, something that's secret or it's confidential and we need to do this and the police cannot be involved. You know, a lot of senior citizens, they just come from a different generation where it's polite to speak with people. It's polite to talk to people on the phone. You know, but when you hear those things, it should, you know, come up as a red flag. And if you want to be polite, because there might be a chance that this is something that's real, then you can just say, look, you know, let me get your contact information. If this is a legitimate company or a legitimate agency, they should be able to provide the phone number. You can hang up, then you can call either me or you can call out to 911 and talk to a patrol officer and then just run the whole case by them. Say, look, I just got this call. I don't know if it's legitimate. Can you look into this and help me out? Because sometimes it is, but oftentimes it's not. And that's why we're here. You aren't going to bother us with something that you think is insignificant. That's what we get paid for. So yeah, you can just call and we can come out and we can look at that for you. So
the other day I was somewhere and there were four Quincy police officer cars there. And I'm like, okay, I'm dying as a news reporter. I go, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on?
Yeah.
Chief Yates says, don't do that, Mary. That's so annoying. But, you know, inside I want to go, what's going on? What's going on? But
oh, yeah.
I didn't. I, you know, because a lot of times these things turn out to be a housing dispute. And this is another thing. Probably there are some people out there who have family members living with them that they really wish would leave.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure the police get involved every once in a while to try to evict, if you want to call it that, folks who are not really supposed to be there. If grandma yeah. invited you to come live with her, it doesn't necessarily mean 2 years later
right.
you're still welcome. But what are the legal ramifications of that? Because
yeah.
it, you know, once you're there,
mm-hmm. oh, yeah.
it's kind of difficult. But you yeah. take, I mean, you go out and you talk with the person who owns the house and say, what is the situation here?
Sure, yeah. So a lot of times the way that we approach that is we always try to gather the information of, okay, who owns the property? How long has the person lived here for? Do they have their personal items there? Do they get mail there? You know, what are the things that has established this residence as theirs? And then if we are able to obtain all that information, then we can basically counsel the person that wants the other person out with the process of doing that. A lot of times it has to be eviction, which is basically handled down at the county courthouse to get the paperwork going, and then there's a court process through that. It's somewhat lengthy, but it's the best way to do it.
But sometimes mm-hmm. the officer could just convince them, hey, you're not welcome here anymore. Can we assist you in trying to find some other place to stay?
Absolutely. Yes.
I mean, you know, it may not quite be totally illegal what they're doing, depending on the circumstances, but
mm-hmm.
still,
mm-hmm.
the officer can look, you know, this is not working. Same way when there's a domestic dispute.
Right.
Usually one night, somebody's going to have to go somewhere else.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you cannot mm-hmm. say, now we've ticketed you both for domestic disturbance. Go back in and have a great evening.
Oh,
that's never going to work.
No, that's never going to work. We always try to, you know, try to separate the parties from there. Try to find some type of, you know, middle ground that makes everyone happy for that time. And a lot of the times, you know, you just need a night to cool off, you know. Maybe go stay with with a friend or a family member. And then when the problem is kind of settled down, then they can get back together and, you know, civilly work it out. But, we go to a lot of those calls. Those are the easy ones when people are okay to leave. You know, we try to do everything we can to help them out.
And
so.
Then there's the problem of when somebody is abusing an elderly person. Maybe someone
mm-hmm.
is kind of using their Social Security check to
Correct.
Supplement their own income. And again, how would the Quincy Police Department know what's going on inside that home?
Sure.
This is where a neighbor or a grocery store clerk.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. My office now, my doctor, I just had a procedure yesterday. A little minor surgical procedure. And one of the questions they asked me, do you feel safe at home?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the first time I was asked it, I'm like, what, in reference to what?
You
mm-hmm. know, like,
yeah.
like, do you mean, am I afraid I'm going to fall down the stairs? I mean, what do you mean? And they go, no, is somebody hurting you? Is somebody
right.
harming you at home?
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, 99% of the people are going to say, what a ridiculous question. I'm almost insulted that you asked me. Mm-hmm. But after they explain to me, you know, mm-hmm. we're trying to find out in a private, confidential area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you know, my husband took me to that appointment yesterday. You know, if there was some reason that he was holding me against my will, here was my one chance to tell people, I'm going to go home with this guy, you know, after my colonoscopy.
Right.
Take me somewhere else. You know, it's your only chance sometimes to speak out. And when you're elderly and homebound
mm-hmm.
and that Social Security check comes and people have access to your finances,
mm-hmm.
they can really, really hold you hostage.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that stuff happens quite a bit, you know, and I always try to tell people they're, you know, if people are in a capacity where they can continue to live on their own and they can make their own decisions, then no one should be telling them how they should spend their money or when they should even have access to their money. No one should tell them when they should eat a meal, when they need to leave the house, when they can come back home. That, you know, those are all signs of abuse. Those are all signs of financial abuse. So I always like to get involved in those cases. I work very closely with a case coordination unit out of the senior center. They're fantastic to work with. What they are is it's basically like DCFS for people who are seniors or mm-hmm. people who are disabled over the age of 18. And we do a lot of joint investigations together, and we tried to kind of dig in and figure out, you know, well, is someone on your bank account with you that probably shouldn't be, you know, is someone accessing your money online, you know, and withdrawing, and then all of a sudden you have a bill to pay, and then you go to the bank and find out that you're at a zero balance. So those are all problems, and those are things that we always try to intervene in, you know. We try to investigate those.
Well, so. Zach Bemis, you're going to have to come back more often because, unfortunately, this is happening in our community and in every community.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see something, say something. If, mm-hmm. you know, the worst thing that will happen is, you know, they'll never know it was you. But, I mean, if you think your neighbor, if there's something weird going on and you've lived next door to this neighbor for a long time and now suddenly new people have moved in and you've started to notice you never see them anymore,
mm-hmm.
but all of a sudden brand new cars or, you know, late night parties, weird stuff that wouldn't normally be happening, call the police and just Zach Bemis will come by and just knock on the door and want to talk to the lady of the house.
Absolutely.
And he'll figure it out pretty quick if something bad is happening. Thank you so much. We didn't have enough time.
Sure.
Please come back. And
thank
you for everything you do for our community. It's very important that our elderly population, our vulnerable populations are healthy and happy. And you're standing on the front line of that, and we appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me.
And tell your old dad I said hi.
Oh, I will.
We'll be back to do it all again tomorrow on the Mary Griffith Show.